The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the Hizzy.
Hey-o.
On this Monday morning. Still to come, Spanky this hour, and Wes Reynolds here joining us. First, though, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Trip Tepper. Trip Tepper, who says, I've lost the Trip Tepper tweet. He says, if you think Harlan undersold the Florida rally, and I do, now he's speaking my language. He says, just imagine Grant Hill during that game. Yes, oh no, I've been on board with this. He said, well, Raph, that was quite the comeback by the Gators. Grant Hill is a wonderful human, but can he please say something compelling once? Trip is echoing my every thought on Grant Hill, as I've said on this show many times. Let's see, Joe Abraham. If books ever start posting college softball like they do baseball, those who follow the sport closely will likely have a big advantage on the books. It comes down to predicting who will pitch that day. Chance Copperpot. All right, Gil. I know you don't care about this stuff, but if you're going to have Spanky on, you got to at least touch on the Twitter Spaces wackiness. Spanky is my favorite on there. All right, maybe I will. John A. Cornell Jr., excellent segment with Grissom. Thank you for all the help with college baseball. You said very nice things about me. Great with the guest info each morning. Thank you. Thank you, John A. Cornell Jr. A lot of college baseball love out there for everybody.
It always happens.
It really does.
Whenever Matt comes on and we start talking college baseball with Benny or any of these guys, the tweets flood.
Benny. I like it.
Benny and the Bets.
Talking about Ben Wilson. All right. Wes Reynolds is here, ladies and gentlemen. Always a pleasure to have Wes on. He's part of the glue that holds this whole operation together at VSiN. And once again, after a just unacceptable drought of about a month without hitting a long shot bet in golf, Min Woo Lee is his winner. What was your number, Wes? Good morning to you, first of all.
Good morning, and it's Min Woo Lee. Got to do the woo like Ric Flair. 35-1. Kelly with the Elton John songdom there, man. That's my gimmick, Kelly. I'm supposed to be the singer on the network, which is probably why I'm not on the network as much anymore with my great voice.
No. You gotta stop singing, Wes. Yeah,
that's what it is. It's the singing.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you again, Wes, on this. The Masters, but a couple weeks away now. Have we added any Masters bets?
Just a couple. Had Ludwig Aubert already, and that's now down to 14-1. Have a little Justin Thomas. I'm probably, and I hate to do this because he's going to be so short, but it's going to be my annual yearly donation, at least in some shape or form, on Rory McIlroy. I'm probably going to have him. He's going to be the second choice. And, is this finally the year where he completes the career Grand Slam? He's in good a form as he's ever been. He's already won twice this year, won at Pebble Beach and then won the Players Championship, made a hell of a rally actually on Sunday where it's like, I'm kind of monitoring the odds board to see, okay, I've got the good position here. He's a substantial favorite with Min Woo Lee. When do I get out? If I get out, then you all of a sudden see Rory making the run. It's like, okay, not now, man. Let's wait for a couple weeks. Okay. At Augusta and made a little rally, just kind of ran out of holes late, but we'll add probably the bulk of the card after the Valero on Sunday.
A tradition unlike any other, the Masters. Speaking of a tradition unlike any other, Wes, there's something called the College Basketball Crown that begins tonight. And when I say a tradition unlike any other, I mean, it has no tradition. That's why it's a tradition unlike any other. This is, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, as I understand it, this is a Fox Sports creation. They do Big East, Big Ten, and Big 12. And if you look at the NIT, I think there was only one team from those three conferences that were even involved in the NIT. And this is basically usurping that and creating a 16-team event that begins today. They're all at a neutral site. They're all here in Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. They're all lined. They're available to bet. This is kind of tricky, though, isn't it, Wes? Because we're really not sure what we're getting with any team here.
Yeah, it is tricky, and this does extend from Monday to Saturday afternoon, I believe, before the Final Four gets started, is going to be the championship game. And you have 16 teams. They are predominantly Big 12, Big East, Big 10, because those are the Fox television deal conferences. There's a couple other teams that get put in there to fill out the field. George Washington, Boise State plays today, Washington State, Tulane, Oregon State. So there's a few others, but it is mostly those three conferences. And what is tricky about this a little bit is how many players are going to be available for these teams, because the transfer portal, as we know, did open last Monday, and it is open, I think, I forget the date, until mid-April. Like, next week is a dead, I think the 3rd through the 10th starts a dead period where you can't have visits. You can still contact and talk to players, but you can't have visits on campus. So it's really kind of funky, you know, how they open this thing so early. But it's like, you can't wait until after the season, because you don't know, you know, you're not going to be wanting to wait till like May and June to figure out who your team is going to be. So yeah, this applies in a couple scenarios today. One that really jumped out at me actually was the 3rd game on the docket. That's 8:30 Eastern tip at 6:53-54 on the rotation. And that's Nebraska and Arizona State. Arizona State, I think, is going to have 7 players. Because the leading scorer on the team was dismissed from the team. And also, Jason Sanon has already committed to St. John's. So he's not going to be playing here. So you've got Nebraska laying 5.5 to Arizona State. It's gone up a little bit from the opener. I would lean Nebraska here, and I think I'm going to bet that, because other than Raleigh Worcester, who is the transfer from Utah, who has a season-ending injury, you got a bunch of fifth-year seniors on this team. So I would think Nebraska is going to be very motivated. This was a team that didn't qualify for the Big Ten tournament. And they, you know, you look early in the season, they had some really good wins and beat some really good teams. So I think Nebraska and Fred Hoiberg and those guys are probably the more motivated bunch. So give me the Cornhuskers.
I like it. If Arizona State's only got, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but 7 players available by Wes's calculation, it's not a good thing.
Sounds like a disadvantage
for Arizona State. Yeah, Nebraska -5.5. Tonight. And again, it's called the College Basketball Crown. This is, you know, the sort of ad-libbing here with the tournament here. Fox driven with their 3 conferences, 4 of the final 16, the only 16, 4 games tonight, 4 tomorrow. And then the tournament continues into Saturday just before the final 4. Is this one of these things, before we move on to the actual tournament, is this one of these things, Wes, where you think will be a staple from year to year? Do you think it will catch on? I wonder what the attendance will even be like tonight.
Yeah, it'll be a staple, I think, if Fox wants to put money into this thing. You know, that's what it is now, because they had the NIT, of course, which is now owned by the NCAA, where you used to be mandated to participate in this event. And now you have teams basically that can opt out, like players opting out for the bowl season. They have the CBI, which they had last week in Daytona Beach. They used to have another tournament, the College Insider Tournament, which was mainly for like the mid-major teams, that, you know, kids that won 24 games and then they don't get to play anywhere. So that was the tournament for them, but they didn't have enough teams, so they didn't have that event this year. So it's going to stay as long as Fox wants some programming on the air. So, we'll see how the crown goes attendance wise over at the MGM Grand tonight.
Does the team that wins this hang a rafter in their arenas?
Or do I don't know. Yeah,
hang a banner in the rafters is what I mean to say.
Maybe they do. Maybe they do get a crown, like Kelly says, like a Jerry the King Lawler crown that they can put in their trophy case at their arena or practice facility of choice.
I do think it's fascinating. Like, I'm interested to see how this plays out this year, next year. I don't think attendance will be all that great, but I don't know if that matters. If it's a made-for-TV product, like, especially, you're chasing gamblers these days, right? We've all just been betting on the NCAA tournament for the past couple weeks. Any more college basketball? Like, you're going to get people to bet and watch this?
Well, you're going to get people to bet because we're ridiculous people. We're very specific people. But you need ratings, ultimately, for stuff like this. Yeah. Like, nobody watches.
That's what it's all about, is the TV. I mean, yeah. Look, we know, just following some people that we know in the space, that the travel's been down to Las Vegas lately.
Yep.
A little bit. And, you know, for whatever outside economic factors, geopolitical factors, the fact that stuff is so expensive out here in Vegas, it's like, okay, we don't have to gouge on every single thing, parking and whatnot. And people aren't traveling out here as much. At least there was a slip in February. I don't think the crown necessarily is going to turn that around.
Not going to move the needle. That's what you're saying.
No.
Did we have negative numbers for the NCAA tournament opening weekends? Did you guys see any of that? Because I actually felt like it was a lot busier than Super Bowl weekend.
Felt like it.
Yeah. It felt like a normal March Madness.
Yeah. Super Bowl was down a little bit.
Super Bowl definitely felt down.
Okay. Before we get to your final 4 thoughts, the tournament in general, Wes, talking about the March Madness now, of course. Is this what you prefer? I know we all would like to see a bunch of upsets, but if you had to map it out from the beginning and you had to say, okay, this, I want my Final Four to be this, is this kind of what it would be?
I would rather my Final Four be this than to be a bunch of like randomness, I would say. But as far as the tournament goes, I prefer a mix. I prefer not to have necessarily all chalk. I prefer to have, you know, kind of a team that makes its way through the draw that's a higher seed, I guess. I was actually given a trivia question out on X yesterday at West Reynolds One. I go, who is the coach that made the most Elite Eights? Because the Elite Eight is so brutal, right? Because you're one step away from getting to the ultimate destination. Who is the coach that had been to the most Final Four or most Elite Eights and never been to the Final Four? It was, of course, John Chaney of Temple, who had been five times since the tournament had expanded. And I looked at Temple and I was like, they made the Elite Eight once as an 11 seed, a 10 seed, a 7 seed, and a 6 seed. So you kind of like that dark horse a little bit. I think that that's always a good story, but we have the four best teams in the KenPom rankings in the Final Four. So at least that's going to set up to say, okay, that's a hell of a game. Even one of them, Houston and Duke, number one offense against the number one defense. I'll get my thoughts later, but that we got four really good teams here. And I think I kind of prefer that. Now, from a bracket perspective, when I try to put a little bit of chaos into it, that doesn't do well when everybody's going with the chalk and they're getting rewarded this year.
Yeah, your trivia question, I hadn't seen that. My reaction in my head was, oh, it's got to be Izzo, right? But Izzo's been to nine Elite Eights. Six of the times he advanced to the Final Four. So it's not him. It's John Chaney. We'll get Wes's Final Four thoughts on the other side. What he's betting, what he's thinking about betting. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
You ready to take your sports betting to the next level? The Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com is your secret weapon. Since 2011, they've been building trusted relationships with major sports books and sports insiders worldwide. They provide daily updates on what top pro sports bettors and betting groups are wagering on, so you're always ahead of the game. But that's not all. They've just launched a cutting-edge AI betting analyst that provides even more selections and reports, giving you the edge you need to win. The best part, you can check out the Sharp Plays free content anytime, get real-time betting action reports, alerts, and more through email and X directly from the pros, plus explore all their records, including detailed online logs right on the website at sharpplays.com. With the Sharp Plays, you're joining a team that's never had a losing year. What do you have to lose? Start today. Get access to the best betting insights at sharpplays.com. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Chuckism 1, the torpedo bat has two slopes to hit off of. A regular bat ascends to the end, maybe flat at best. This has got to be a major advantage, he says. ? Torch D, got to the bar early today, ripping shots and getting ready for the crown. All that for a Netflix show about the British royalty? Really? Wow. Oh, that crown. Wes Reynolds is kind enough to join us for a second segment here. We were just talking off air. Juju Watkins, obviously, her knee crumpling last week, and so USC is still obviously in the women's tournament, but UConn is how big of a favorite against USC, Wes?
I was looking at a notable faraway place, Gil, and UConn minus 15.5. This is 2-1, by the way. This mirrored the men's tournament, or maybe the men's tournament mirrored the women's tournament, because usually are going to get the top seeds advance in the women's tournament. Even though there's more good teams, there's still not enough elite teams, but these are two of those programs. And UConn is actually the 2 seed, USC being the 1 seed. UConn minus 15.5 at one faraway place. And offshore store. So that's just jarring, a 2-1. But the more I look at it, it's kind of like, well, that might be right. Even though USC does have other good players, they're not necessarily a one woman team, but still UConn looking very much at full strength and kind of looking a little bit like the UConn of old here. So 15.5 over USC, and then Texas minus 7.5 over TCU and Haley Van Lith, who gets to an Elite Eight with a third team, yes, by the way, because she was originally at Louisville and then was at LSU, kind of never really found her way there. She was kind of a punchline, not a punchline anymore, more, though, because she's led this TCU team to the Elite Eight. So 2-1, by the way, in that region as well.
Remember that little girl on the LSU team? Yeah, she's doing big things now. Kelly's like, yeah, sure.
I do. I remember her playing for like 16 teams already. Yeah.
I just want to a little aside here, because the whole thing about Juju sadly getting hurt, obviously, and her knee totally crumpled. It was awful to watch. But I think about that. I think about Janai Broome as we segue back to March Madness. Janai Broome, who managed to, you know, absolutely, you know, it looked like he wasn't going to come back yesterday in Auburn's game against Michigan State, because he managed to wrench both his elbow and his leg landing awkwardly with just over 10 minutes left in that game. He did Willis Reed, come back into that game, a Willis Reed like comeback. Who knows what condition he'll be in? And I bring this up, and this is I'm going to take an unsolicited ribbing here at Chris Velik, our friend and regular guest, because remember the famous college football FSU thing, which he and I got into an argument about, right? Where he's like, oh, FSU absolutely should not be invited to this because the nature of their team has changed, right? They don't have their starting quarterback anymore. I think they were down to the third string, if I'm not mistaken, right? Okay, so by that logic, right, by his logic, USC women's should not be permitted to continue in the NCAA women's basketball tournament. And if Janai Broome is in any way damaged from what he was in this last game and is unable to go or is diminished for Auburn, well, by Chris Velika standards, Auburn has to find a replacement. They have to find a replacement for Auburn. This is why that FSU logic was so dumb.
I guess one did happen before they established
the field. That's the clause. It happened before the tournament, so it's not the same thing.
I'm not going to argue with you.
The exact same logic.
You get screwed.
Anyway, sorry, Wes.
There needs to be a lucky loser for the Final Four, Gil, for in tennis here. So maybe take Auburn out and put Texas Tech or somebody in. But deservedly, Auburn does make it here, but we do have two. I thought we were going to have 40 years later, Gil. I thought we were going to have three from one conference. Like, remember when we had the Big East down there in Lexington in 85 with St. John's, Villanova, and Georgetown, Memphis being the outlier. So thought we were going to get three. We only end up with two, but my Big Ten, we beat our chest and we're sitting home for the Final Four.
Yeah. Well, I was comparing it to the 2008 Final Four, all number one seeds. The only other time we had four number one seeds, the collective record heading into the Final Four, I mentioned early on the show, of this year's group is 135-16. That year it was 140-9. A lot more comparable KenPom wise. It was the KenPom top four. This year it was the KenPom top four in 2008. 2008 was Kansas, Memphis. Remember the classic final where Kansas erased the 9-point deficit with the Chalmers three. The capper there in regulation, then beat Memphis in overtime. And then UNC and UCLA that year, the Westbrook, Love, Collison, UCLA team. UNC had Hansborough and Lawson and Green. Do you remember that final? Like, in just your mind's eye, you're a historical guy. Do you think that Final Four, group of four, was better than this one?
Probably, at least on the surface, because you think that you're going to have more NBA players out of that group. Now, with Duke, they're going to have maybe three lottery picks. Certainly, Cooper Flagg's going to go one. Con Canupel is going to be in the lottery. Malawach might have played his way back into the lottery with a really good defensive performance, especially against Alabama in the regional final. So those are your obvious NBA players. You're probably going to get one guy at least, maybe two from Houston. But that was so much talent, because now these teams get older, Gil, and these kids stay longer because it's made worth their while to go ahead and stay longer. I believe I was looking at the returning production, by the way, of these teams, because three of these teams were mission teams, because remember, Florida and Auburn both got knocked out in the first round last year. And then Houston had made it to the Sweet 16 twice and then never could get over the hump. And then they finally did with that great backdoor baseline out of bounds play to beat Purdue and then routed Tennessee yesterday. If you look at the percentage of minutes based on the returning players of each of the Final Four squads, this is from Eben Maya on Twitter. Houston brought 82% of their returning their percentage of minutes by returners. Florida 70%, Auburn 69%, and then there's Duke down there at 22%. Well, you can get away with that when you got three lottery picks like Duke does. So probably not as much as the NBA talent as you mentioned in the 2008 Final Four.
All right, let's do these one by one. The first semifinal on Saturday is Florida and Auburn, the aforementioned Battle between the two SEC teams remaining. Florida is a 2.5-point favorite. The total's 160. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that that's going to go up a little bit. I think people, you've already seen a little bit of action toward Florida. I think you'll probably see more a lot with the broom status and also the fact that Florida did beat Auburn on the road earlier this year. It was 90-81. I think that was on February 8th. And at that point, like, Auburn had won 14 in a row and they were number one in the country. Now they don't seem like they're as unbeatable as they certainly did during a 14 game winning streak. So I think that that's probably going to go up a little bit. I think you'll see a 3, might see a 3.5, depending. I'm sure the whole broom thing, you know, maybe he is going to be good to go, but that's going to be that GTD, game time decision, right? So, you know, Bruce Pearl's not going to show his hand here necessarily. I think the under would be my initial lean at about 161. I know these two teams are fast paced and this is offense, 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 but this is it. This is in a different environment in the Alamo Dome down in San Antonio. It's not the cavern necessarily that the Final Four was in Houston when those games were in like the 40s and the 50s, but that total does seem at least a little bit high on first glance.
And then Houston Duke, where Duke seems like, you know, look, they seem like they're the best team overall. They're favored here by 4.5. The total is 136.5. And whenever you get a total that low, right, it does sort of connote a puncher's chance for a Houston team that can lock down anyone, it seems. Can they lock down Duke, though?
Yeah, Duke is probably also going to get bet. I would see this going to 5, 5.5. This is the number one offense against the number one defense. But, oh, by the way, Duke has the number four defense. And you saw what Duke did to Alabama on Saturday. They just swallowed Alabama. And the way that you know, defend a team sometimes is to run good offense and make that other team play defense. And that's what you saw, really. They were going right at Mark Sears. Mark Sears was, of course, the guard for Alabama, who had that wonderful three-point performance on Thursday. Where it's like, you know how you take his energy away and make his legs go is you make him guard. And that's what they did. And they were exploiting him in pick and roll the entire game, and he just had nothing on the other end. Meanwhile, Houston, 10th in offense, number one in three-point percentage as a team, 39.7%. I still don't think that they have the firepower, so I understand why both the favorites were getting the action. My initial prediction was Duke and Auburn in the final, just because I wanted to go against the grain and not have Duke and Florida like it seemed like everybody did, but going against the grain hasn't necessarily worked in this tournament this year in 2025. So I think both favorites are going to get bets. But if you do like the dogs, wait on it a little bit. You're not going to see, I think, a ton of movement, but every little half and every little advantage matters. So wait on the dogs if you like them on Saturday.
I think that's probably true with the line movement. I'm not a great line movement predictor, but I think that's probably true on this one. Wes, congratulations on Minwoo Lee and on Long Shots. We'll look forward to hearing what you have to say about the Valero Texas Open as well. Thank you, man.
Thank you, fellas.
Wes Reynolds, everybody. Yet another golf long shot in the books. We'll come back Spanky on a baseball contest next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa, downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort Casino. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We once asked Fezzik what makes a hotel a resort. And his answer very confidently was what?
They have to have a concierge, Gil.
Any truth to that at all?
I don't know. I swear I just go around town now thinking about that.
The resort, because it's got a concierge. I don't know if that's true. I just love the confidence with which he answers that kind of thing. By the way, you don't have to worry. Novak Djokovic did not win Miami, so you don't have that pang of regret.
Yeah, what, lost like a 17-year-old?
19-year-old, Jakub Mensik, who won in straight sets, both in tiebreakers. Jakub Mensik was a guy that we bet on a year ago to massive underdog prices against like Rublev and stuff, made lots of money on Mensik last year. But again, for me, in the numbers, it wasn't there to bet against Djokovic. Congratulations to everybody who had Mensik on that. And also congratulations to the Leaflet. Three of the four Final Four coaches, once again, in the tribe.
That's wild.
Yeah, man. Last time someone in the tribe as a coach won the NCAA tournament back-to-back, 88-89. Larry Brown with Kansas, Steve Fisher with Michigan. Talking about Pearl, Golden, and Shire. Only Kelvin Sampson, not in the tribe. If you know what I'm talking about. It's for a certain part of the audience. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to have this guy on the show. We don't often have him on. He's on, I don't know, what, twice, three times a year, something like that. He is the host of the Be Better Betters podcast. He is the founder of Bet Bash, the greatest gambling conference there ever was, and he's the creator of Spank Odds, which is available to each and every person in terms of having it on your computer, and a contest associated with that is what he's here to talk about. It's Spanky, everybody, here on The Numbers Game, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at, get this clever, clever handle, Spanky. What's happening?
Gil, thanks so much for having me on, brother. It's a pleasure always.
When someone asks you, what is it that you do? Because I just listed three pretty prominent things, right? Creator of an odd service, a conference, not just any conference, but the best one that there is in terms of sports betting. You're also a better, I mean, it all starts with you being a better. You're a podcast host. What leads the list for you of all that stuff?
Well, none of those. I mean, I'm a pro sports bettor. That's how I make my, the vast majority of my income. But if there's somebody, a stranger, that just asks me, I just tell them I'm into computers. I'm a computer scientist. I don't really like to. It all depends on who's asking if I want to get into it. Because once you say you're a pro sports bettor, the person's going to either be really excited or they're going to just want to run away from you. It's going to be one or the other. So, it all depends. But, yeah. Sometimes when I go to my kids' birthday parties and you kind of meet dads, other dads and stuff, that's when the conversation would come up. And depending on how I'm feeling, if I want to get into it or not, is how I'm going to answer.
He's like, I'm a computer scientist. The other fathers are like, sure you are, buddy. Sure you are. Okay, well, you're here specifically to talk about something, which I think is great because brackets are winding down, obviously. Survivor, everything associated with the NCAA tournament winding down now that we're in the Final Four. But for those who are fiending for a contest in another sport, you have a little something associated with Spank Odds when it comes to a baseball handicapping contest. Do tell, sir.
Yeah, so, we had a market, we don't really do any marketing with Spank Odds, and this is kind of the lull of the season, as you said, right when the Final Four is coming up, and, that the dog days of summer are coming up on us, and, all in anticipation for football. So we wanted to, instead of putting money towards a marketing budget, we said, let's make a contest. And so we set aside 20 grand. We made a free contest, and it's free. You automatically enter. You just got to download Spank Odds at spankodds.com. All the rules are there. Essentially, you have to make 240 selections on baseball. You could bet the full game or first five innings, and whoever makes the most units at the end by the All-Star break is the winner. So you can enter at any time from now until the All-Star break, and you just got to place 240 selections. So we figured people might want to enter late. You don't have to, there's no deadline to enter, but you got to make sure that you get at least 240 selections in order to be eligible for any prizes. First prize is 10 grand, and then it just goes on from there with 20 grand in total prizes.
240 selections is roughly, if you entered today, is 2-point-something games per day, 2-point-something bets per day. So it's actually like real baseball bettors. That's kind of reflective of how a legitimate baseball bettor bets. Now, if you wait till the beginning of June to do this again, this goes right to the All-Star break. Obviously, that becomes a little more comical because then you'd be betting eight things a day. So you don't want to wait that long. But if you do it now, you kind of just have it in your background, and it's very easy, right, Spanky? So if you have the Spank Odds board in front of you on your screen, what do you have to do to actually enter picks?
So, the only way, we have a couple of different rules, a couple of pretty strict rules. You only can track your pick against a Circa or an S411 line, which is an offshore sports book that's primarily, one of the leading market-making bookmakers in the world. And also, of course, Circa, where you're at, Gil. Those two, we feel as if, if you want to track your pick, you got to choose one of those two sports books. You can't find a sleepy, DraftKings line or a sleepy, Bet Rivers line or something like that. That's not going to cut it. You only can make your pick after 10 a.m. Eastern. So all you overnight animals out there that are looking to shop and hunt to try to get the best of it when the lines are hanging up, you're not going to be able to utilize that skill. All you got to do, Gil, is you right click on one of the lines with either Circa or S411, and you just simply click track bet. And then you get to choose. You could choose a money line, a run line, a total. You could do the same thing for first five innings. Props are not allowed. This is going to be just simply meat and potatoes, full game and first five innings.
Here's what I like about this. Unlike a March Madness bracket, which again, even our VSiN bracket challenge, right, which is weighted points wise, the further, each subsequent round, mm-hmm. you can game the game in something like a bracket challenge. If you just do better late than you did earlier, you can still end up winning it. And good for those folks who do that way. This, though, 240 bets, you can't get lucky and win this, right? You just have to be good. There's no other way around it. And it's run lines, it's money lines. What else can you do? First fives as well?
Yeah, and you can do totals, over-unders. And that, yeah.
Okay.
And that's, you could choose either, and you can't double dip. So let's just say if you like the Yankees in a full game, you can't also bet the Yankees in the first five, and you get to choose either the run line or the money line. So you can't double dip to try to, you know, choose correlated selections. You have to choose one or the other.
The system will block you from trying to do that if you
absolutely.
Do try. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Not that it's likely when there's so many points of data, when you have at least 240 of these, not that it's likely. But if there is a tie at the end, is there a tiebreaker?
You know what, Gil? We never even thought of that. And if there would be a tie at the end, because it's exactly the number of units, and this units is tracked to the hundredth of decimal places.
Okay, so unlikely.
So I'll make an announcement here. If there's a tie at the end, we'll give both people the 10 grand first prize.
Hey.
You know what I mean? Nope. Because I'll take a shot at that and we'll be, you know, the other thing is the top eight prizes pay, Gil, but you have to be positive. So I'm not going to reward anybody if they're in the top eight. And let's just say the seventh or eighth people are actually below zero and they didn't make any money. You can't be eligible for a prize if you're the smallest loser. You got to actually be in the green.
That would be more of a commentary on baseball betting in general if that happens.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Is this, and so right now, you're just getting the word out. The response has been good so far.
Yeah, there's not, you know, it's pretty light. You know, I think we have over 60 entries. And again, some people are waiting to just see, you know, with these torpedo bats that you were mentioning and, you know, you don't know how the baseball is. You know, April's always a touch and feel to see if the balls are flying out and what's happening and stuff. So a lot of people are kind of waiting till mid-April, late April, even early May to maybe get started. And they're just, you know, not too many people are diving in head first. But we have a live leaderboard. Everything's fully transparent. You could see everyone's selections after the game starts, and we have it up on spankodds.com. You can check it out. And again, this is all in trying to have people use our software. We believe we have the best odds dissemination software out there, so we want people to get them to start using it. And again, it's free to use. It's free to enter the contest. You just got to use it. It's free. The software is free. It's on a 5-minute delay. The lines are 5 minutes late, and then maybe we could try to turn some of the people that are using the free version into paid subscribers if they, you know, if they like it after a couple of months.
There
and
it
that's
is.
The whole thing.
That's the whole point of the whole thing. Okay. Spanky, I leave you with this. We have a listener question. God forbid that I ask you this, but he said, Chance Copperpot. He says, all right, Gil, I know you don't care about this stuff, but if you're going to take Spanky on, you got to at least touch on the Twitter Spaces wackiness. Spanky is my favorite on there. Do you have anything to say about Twitter Spaces?
Yeah, you know, it was an addiction for a little bit. It's a lot of shysters come on there. I'm kind of taking a step back from that, Gil. There's a lot of you know, guys trying to, you know, promote their shyster businesses. A lot of touts come on there and stuff. It's mayhem. It's just nuts. My buddy Elf runs it. He's a good guy, but it's one of those things in which you gotta be careful on who's talking, who's selling what, and you know, proceed with caution in that Twitter space land. I don't recommend it to just go listen to what everybody says and jump in blindly.
All right, spankodds.com, is that where they go to sign up for this?
You got it, Gil.
Spankodds.com. Check it out.
You and Kelly can sign up as well. You guys would love to have you.
I'm a documented 0-1, Spanky. I'm a documented 0-1.
Still early, buddy. 239.
That's right. Early. So you're saying there's a chance. Thank you, Spanky. Appreciate it. Spanky, everybody. At Spanky on Twitter. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, time for the GBank best bets of the day, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Every host, every guest, every sport on every show, recapped by GBank at the end of each. I made a college basketball bet. I kind of like that Wes Reynolds play tonight on Nebraska.
Yeah.
In the Crown. Based on the fact that Arizona State has all of 7 players.
That is the entirety of the handicap, yes. Right? But I'm with you. Yeah.
Nebraska minus 5.5.
Tough to win with 7 dudes.
Not in my account yet, but I did bet Duke minus 4.5 against Houston in the Final Four. Didn't pull the trigger on Florida yet, but I just, to me, Duke is by far the best team. And yes, while Houston can do the lockdown thing, which they did on Tennessee in spades yesterday, I just don't think it happens against Duke. And I think Houston very potentially could get destroyed.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Duke's too strong. I wanted to bet this before it hit 5 potentially. I think that's probably where we're going to go with this game. So yeah, I wanted to get it there. I mean, it's not going to go crazy, right? Just because it is Houston involved, so the total's going to be low.
The total's low. Yeah, can't go crazy.
I don't think the spread's going to move crazy throughout the week here, but still, I wanted to get it in before it did hit 5. So I'm with you there. Duke laid the 4.5, and I'm with you. I think that as the week goes on, I'll probably end up on a Duke bet. And I think Jedi Broom's probably going to be fine. Like, I think he's going to be in that game. I have a feeling he's going to look completely fine, but I just... Gators have won games, and I don't know that we've seen this team play at its best yet. That's a scary thought. 3 NBA totals for me tonight, Gil. How about that? Jazz Hornets wow. Under 219.5, picking on some of these tanking crappy teams. Heat Wizards under as well, 221. I think that one's moved. And then Kings Pacers over. You can get a better number than I got. I think it's like a 233, 233.5 right now. Played the over in that game. So unders with the teams that are not playing such great basketball right now, and then over between the Kings and the Pacers. Need that Kings offense to wake up a bit, though.
Okay, and Carl Sack came on in here, and he doesn't listen at this hour. He doesn't usually have plays on that night's NBA card, but that's about as close as he's ever gotten to giving one out. Heat minus 8.5. I guess at one time he did one in the commercial break. He put out a tweet, so not quite as close, but Heat minus 8.5 against the Wiz. He thinks it's a little too low on the Miami Heat. And then Joe Pita, not here, but Joe Pita off to a 6-1 start on the show with his plays. He's on the Rangers, Mariners, Padres, and Cubs today. Rangers, Mariners, Padres, and Cubs.
Cubs, also a money line if you're watching at home.
Yes, also a money line. That's right.
Stakes Kelly makes.
G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Those are all of our bets on the show today. Once again, with G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, they are offering great sort of promotional stuff as well. And in this case, G-Bank is offering to up the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/G-Bank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. I was mentioning that I am an idiot, that I did not get my picks in on time on Saturday in the VSiN Bracket Challenge. And if I had, I'd be in sole possession of second place. Matt Brown would still be your leader. I would not be up to Matt Brown level.
Matt Brown!
But I just want to let people know how it is that I would have gotten second place. Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah.
And it should be the strategy of anybody who's in a bracket challenge like this, and they were, what was I, in 23rd or something, heading into that final, into those games. What I did was, and this is not a shot at anybody, this is just strategy of game strategy, right? Game theory. I essentially took the biggest, I went through each side and each total of the 4 Elite Eight games, and we had to give 3. And so my entire strategy of getting back into it was to fade the largest discrepancy, right? To fade the largest difference. So in other words, I was going to make picks that were on the wrong side of consensus so that if I was right, not only would I advance, but I'd have a whole bunch of folks who would just stay in their tracks. And so the picks that I had, and I sent these to Bill, AD, he can vouch, but I had, you know, there were 10 different people who had Florida. So I took Texas Tech. Texas Tech, what was it? Worked out again. These are all against the spread, by the way. These aren't just right, a win, yeah, right? Yeah. So Texas Tech worked out. Even though, by the way, it got a little dicey there at the end where I was like, are you kidding me? Is this going to be a push? So Texas Tech was one of them. The other one was the under in the Bama Duke game. Remember the sentiment coming into the game is that everybody thought that game, you know, every Bama game goes over. 8 people were on the over. Only one person was on the under besides me. And then the Tennessee Houston game, 5 people were on the over. I went under on that. Nobody was on the under. 0 people. And then the Michigan State Auburn game, 8 people were on Michigan State. only two, including myself, are on Auburn. So that was the whole strategy, was to do that. And that catapults you from a complete, I was 14-17-1 heading into it. And again, would have been second place if I was smart enough to get them in on time. The games had actually started before I realized. It's so stupid. So I'm logging all this all day. I'm like, oh, I've got the perfect strategy. And by the way, it was the perfect strategy. And I still didn't even get them in.
Gil Alexander, 2 minutes on great bracket strategy, except you forgot the most important thing of get your picks in on time.
Amazing. Like I said, any reminder you need that you're an idiot at certain points, there was mine. Just completed. Matt Brown would be first place no matter what, even with my
Matt Brown, 20-15-2, 44 points. Ben Wilson, Dan Strauss, Bill Eadie, all 3 points behind.
Matt Brown first. Yeah. And Kelly Midland is lurking. He's a lurker. He's in fifth, tied with Miles Gwynn. All right.
I heard that the VEASAN prize is that you get to select one item from the conference room downstairs. There's a lot of random stuff down there.
Like microphones and that kind of thing?
No. There's little like gifts from over the years.
Oh, okay.
Remember like the holiday presents? We got like shot glasses one year. I bet you there's like a set of those down there.
The best gift we ever got was the VEASAN backpacks.
I still use it today.
Me too.
Like 7 years later or whatever. Yeah.
Let's bring those back. Can we get VEASAN backpacks?
Yeah, that would be nice. I think that's a Michelle Musburger shout out, right?
Well, what do you have all your eyes on down there, Mr. Man, if you're going to win this?
I see some bottles of booze down there. Probably grab one of those.
I don't know if those are eligible. Oh, we wanted to throw this before we go. We want to throw this because we briefly alluded to this with Carl Sack. But this is the notion of tanking NBA teams. You wanted to add something to this. The way, Kelly, congratulations to Wes for hitting Minwoo Lee. And oh, by the way, you too.
Matt Brown had a top 10, top 20, you know, on him too. Yeah.
Matt Brown had a top 10 and top 20. Tanking teams to target, NBA's worst teams since the All-Star break. Again, straight up records on the left. Jazz, Sixers, Nets, and Hornets are the real fade-a-thons, right? Jazz and Sixers 3-18, Nets 4-17, Hornets 5-17. After that, it's not really that tanky by result, quite frankly. You see their records in the last 10. The Hornets managed to go 5-17 in the last 10 as well, should be pointed out. And then their ATS records, right? But what we generally talk about in these cases are money line parlay. So the ATS stuff wouldn't matter. If you look at the net rating outside garbage time, though, those are pretty amazing.
Yes.
Is that what you wanted to see?
I mean, that's why I wanted to throw this all up here, all up there, Gil, for us to just talk about, right? Because it is, there are teams that are clearly rolling out terrible lineups every night. Like you always say, the players are not hitting the court trying to lose, but when Lauri Markkanen has 17 different injuries in the year of 2025, it's pretty clear what's going on with the Utah Jazz. So the records are there. We know what these teams are doing. There's a couple things, right? Like you said, the net ratings are pretty shocking. I mean, that is how bad they are playing. Double digits, minus 12.5, you're talking 12.5 for the Jazz, 13.1 for the Sixers, 13.7 for the Hornets. And look, the Hornets get a little bit of an excuse. They've had injuries to deal with. 76ers, obviously, the season just didn't go the way they thought it was going to go from the jump. I wanted to point out the ATS records like you did, Gil, because it is... Look, have I thrown some of these in money line parlays or tacked on, you know, when a team I kind of like is going up against Carl on the Heat tonight? I think that could be a good sign if you want to include the Heat money line in something or just play it straight. That's completely fine. You know what some of these teams are doing, what their goal is for the rest of the season. Just be careful, though, when you are going up with the point against the point spread, because the books know what's going on too. They're not oblivious to what these teams are doing. So just wanted to point that out, because I think there is some opportunity here. You just need to make sure you're playing it correctly.
It's really four teams, though. You agree the Wizards and Spurs shouldn't be on this list, period. Because the records are you're not going to win money line parlay against them blindly.
Yeah, correct. The Wizards did a good job of tanking from day one. From day one this season, they were like, we're just going to like play our youngest kids and put ourselves so far in a hole that, yes, they can actually play competitive basketball on March 31st, because guess what? They're already locked into that top three pretty much.
Yeah. And Jordan Poole acts like they win the NBA championship every time he does something great late.
I'm starting to love Jordan Poole. Poole, you just out there do your thing, man. As long as you're scoring points, what else matters?
Shame how that ended in Golden State, though. I will say that. What could have been? We've done all we can do. Appreciate everybody on. Again, Joe Pete is 6-1 on the show in terms of the early baseball plays. And again, let me just repeat as we head out. The Joe Pita plays again today. Rangers, Mariners, Padres, and Cubs. See if he can keep that going. Money Moves is next with Stormy and the aforementioned Matt Brown leading the VSiN Bracket Challenge.
I expect nothing but college basketball winners.
All right. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.